Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing with talk therapy, né? But we're going to allow people to talk. We're going to allow them to express themselves. We're going to allow them to let us into their little worlds. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about witchcraft. Now, you know, I was saying was now, you know me, I'm all for the witches. What? You know, if our witches could come out and, you know, support us, then Brave Warriors wouldn't be losing. If our witches could come and support us, then we would know the thieves. The witch doctor just walks into the court and says, Kucha, that one is guilty, that one's not guilty, that one's guilty, that one's not. It would be so nice. If we would allow them, you know, sometimes, right, I look at South Africa, and now don't get me wrong, you know, I like my country, but I look at South Africa and I'm like, wow, guys, you guys are really embracing this African thing. You guys are embracing your culture, your heritage. You guys are embracing your ancestors. You guys are embracing everything. And we are almost now apparently in the Stone Age. We are apparently in the Stone Age, and we are apparently not, we're not really for those kinds of people, and those kinds of people are not really for us, because no. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight, on tonight's conversation or tonight's show, we are mainly going to be listening and we're going to be hearing, and then we give our final conclusion. So that's what we're going to be doing for this Friday afternoon. It's a Friday. It is a chilled day. And also, ladies and gentlemen, in case you would like to win a ticket to the Whiskey Festival, to win a ticket to the Whiskey Festival, right? You just have to answer this one question of where will the event take place? The number in studio is 0832-888-401. You can call in and then you can let me know where it's going to take place. And then we will see if you win or you don't win. And if you win or you don't win, just like that. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, also our disclaimer, my disclaimer is that the information shared on our programs is not in any way property of Eagle FM. We just choose to use it to inform, educate, and broaden your horizons. We don't claim ownership of anything. We just say that we like what you said, and we would like our listeners to hear it as well, with no cuts, no edits, and no interruptions. So without further ado, let's start with the conversation around witchcraft, especially within an African context.
It has been present in almost every part of the world. The phenomenon of witchcraft has been allowed to grow for millennia. It has been present in almost every part of the world, in Europe, in Asia, in South America, and including here in Africa. The belief in witchcraft has revealed itself in different ideas, perceptions, and even conclusions. But today, I would like us to talk about the face of this belief. And this is the violence that follows after believing in the existence of witchcraft. But why is witchcraft? We will not have a definitive definition. But from this talk, we are going to see the face of witchcraft and the belief in our context as a country. I grew up as any Malawian child in a society that enforces the belief in witchcraft. And this was carried through the stories from my parents, from my uncles, aunts, and even siblings. However, I kept asking, especially my mother, from all these stories you keep telling us, where is the evidence that witchcraft is real? Although she couldn't provide satisfying responses to these questions, this created a window of doubt inside my mind. So I grew up to become a person who was concerned whenever I hear anything to do with violence that is emanating from the belief in witchcraft. I spent years in this apathetic state until something happened in January 2016. In this month and year, four calling people were brutally killed in Ineno district, southern Malawi, near the border with Mozambique. A young family member, 17-year-old child, died from lightning. And that family, including the whole community, summoned these four elderly people to answer to that death because they believed that they were the ones who set the lightning to kill that child. They were called at a certain place inside the village with community members armed with all sorts of tools, sticks, stones, and even paper knives. They kept asking these four runners, and they kept denying that they had nothing to do with the death of that child. But the community never listened. They kept beating these four runners until they died. The images of that event shocked almost everyone in the country. There were all sorts of reactions. Some people believed that indeed they would have been the witches behind that death. Some people were empathetic, and some people had no reaction at all. But something happened within me soon after seeing when I died in the Neno district. I went to a friend who was actively involved in the fights against witchcraft-based violence. I told him about that story, and I offered myself as a volunteer to do whatever I could to make sure that we get this kind of violence in our society. I started using my writing talent, talking in different platforms, raising awareness that if this is how we are going to build our society, that sooner or later we are going to destroy it. That's how I got myself into a fight that I never thought I would be part of. And while inside that journey, a similar thing happened in Mwanje district, southern Malawi, near the border with Mozambique as well. A young family member died mysteriously, and the family, including the community, accused the two grannies from that family to be behind that death. They got out, took all sorts of weapons, attempting to kill these two old grannies. Fortunately, the police were alerted in good time, and they rushed to the scene. They saved the two, took them to the police station for 2 to 3 weeks before they brought them back to their community. One of the police officers that was involved in this salvation mission called me, knowing that I am one of the people who advocates against witchcraft-based violence. After listening to the story, I tried to organize the resources that I could and even contacted some friends in the United Kingdom. They sent the leader that they could, and I gathered all that went to Onaje to help these two runners. I sat between them, asking them their experience and how they got faring after what had happened to them. I could see the trauma in their faces. Some people were telling me that they had given up on life, looking at the discrimination that they were facing while living in that community. When I was coming back, I heard two boys talking. One of them was saying he had gone to see his fellow witches in a bay. And another one responded that, yeah, I think he is also a witch. I heard them and we laughed about it together with the police that I had got together with. But as I was going, I kept thinking the kind of discrimination these two brothers are facing in that community. The two examples that I have given today are just a tip of the iceberg. What is happening in this country each and every day is more than what has been said today. If we look around, especially in our local media, frequently we see stories of witchcraft-based violence, families fighting, property destroyed. And everything about these things that we hear do not happen in isolation. It is the face of the Nalpas. In April 2022, Afrobarometer released their survey results, which say that over 74% of Malawians believe in the existence of witchcraft. That is translated to around 15 million people. That's a lot. And the survey results went on to say that those who believe in witchcraft, including people living in urban areas and in rural areas as well. Even those who are educated believe in witchcraft as much as those who are not educated. I am saying all this to give you a picture of how deeply rooted the belief is. No wonder this discourse found itself in the policy side as well. Recently, the Malawi Law Commission proposed to the change of the witchcraft law. The law that we currently have was enacted in 1911 by the British colonial government. It criminalizes the belief in witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And anyone who accuses another of being a witch or wizard faces the law. But the law commission argued that if the laws change to recognize the existence of witchcraft, then we are going to do away with the violence that we have been seeing over the years. I remember arguing against this proposal. Because let's face it, if a certain belief is leading in violence or victimization of other people, it is only normal to have that belief live more from that society and not recognized. And due to that, I took a personal initiative, moving around in different media houses, arguing that we do not have to change the existing law. In fact, we have to maintain it and be adding more relevant things that have come out after it was enacted in 1911. It was a hot debate, and I recognize that, looking at how deeply rooted the belief is. But as we move on, I would like to leave you with a question. From all the violence that we have seen due to the belief in the existence of witchcraft, is this the country or the society that we want? It's not an easy job. I simply found myself inside it because of the empathy that I had of the victims that had no opportunity to prove themselves. I have gone through insults and sometimes even threats, but that is the kind of thing that I expected when I was putting myself inside this job. But that question should still linger inside us. Is this the country that we want? I have seen the belief in witchcraft destroyed families, communities, and even this nation. But as we are facing forward, I feel it has to come to a time when we have to make some tough decisions. If certain beliefs are dragging us backwards, we have to let go of them. When that question came into my mind of the kind of society that I would like to have, I keep asking it to everyone I come across. When I saw that violence, I responded by saying that this is not the kind of Malawi that I want for myself and even for my children. Therefore, I leave you with that very self-question on this platform. When you look around, when you see the reports of the violence that is happening, is this the country that we want? I answered no to that question, and I don't know what your answer is. Thank you.
Ooh la la, ooh la la. Apparently they don't like witchcraft. Ooh, that quata. Ah, brr. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are asking the question of what is witchcraft? And is it just somebody flying around and strangling other people? Or how do you, when somebody says that, oh, that is witchcraft, that is urodhi, what do you picture it to be? Because mina, I picture it as some Togolosi guy that's running around and that's probably fundira ring people mavi, and then is also having a voodoo doll and is also just poking you so that you can die. And it, I just figured it's wild, especially the way the West perceives it, the way the West makes it look, you know, black magic, darkness, dark magic, you know, dark things are bad, you know, especially with the way that the West has put it out there. The picture that I have of the word or the concept of witchcraft is exactly that. It's some scary stuff that woo, don't touch it, report it, run away, hide, throw him a donut. It is one of those. But when I think of, you know, spirituality, then that's a different thing. That's a different flex. You know, when I think of African spirituality, that's a different flex. And I also do believe that within our African context, we do have people that have abilities, you know, psychic abilities. They have abilities to heal. They have abilities to be medicinal. They have abilities to see. They have abilities, you know, abilities. Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Dimitri.
Good evening, my dear. How are you?
In time, man.
Hi. I'm well.
Ah, long last man.
Ne, long last man. Tukan ingu taro witchcrafta?
Oh, hi.
Okay. What's the problem?
I'm very immune from that.
Why? Because you believe in Jesus?
Yeah, I'm believing in Jesus.
Why you believe in Jesus?
Because Jesus is against the witch.
I'm asking why do you believe in him? Not what
I
he
want
does.
To follow the
You want to follow his footsteps.
Yeah, I'm very righteous.
Yeah, but the Jesus was not. Jesus also said, "Most let he without sin be the first one to cast a stone." So why are you casting stones if you are not without sin? Who's that? Eh? What is the problem here?
I don't believe in witchcraft.
Okay, but maybe you can tell me, what do you think witchcraft is?
Witchcraft is when someone is using the brute of.
Okay, who's using magic?
Yeah, magic, yeah.
But what if you're using magic for good things, like Robin Hood?
Or robbing the bank, or.
No, just using the magic for good things. You know, you are healing people, and.
Yeah.
You don't want people to heal people. You they must just wait for Jesus. Jesus is taking long, man. Jesus is staying long, guys. Yeah? So we might just wait for Jesus, even though there is Nilifa and Shapake there that know how to do it. Just hold that thought for me.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to witchcraft.com. Hello?
Hello.
So let's dive into it. So when you hear witchcraft, what do you think it is? You think that it's somebody that is using Bluetooth, right? Or is using magic?
Or someone who stole our stuff at our destination.
Okay. So a witch is bad.
Which is bad. Part of the reason why we are not progressing in life.
But why didn't Jesus just help you?
Yeah?
Why doesn't Jesus? Because if you guys know what the problem is, why don't you just ask Jesus?
Yeah. Because that is God. He's always attacking. He's on timeless.
So God will just allow you to be witched by this person. because he doesn't have power.
No, we know most, some of the situation is right. And strengthening us.
So God wants you to be witched so that you can be strong.
Yeah.
Then it's most not a thing from the devil, that one. That one is from God, then. Because if you are saying that, God is not stopping it, so that you can grow stronger. So that you can grow stronger. So isn't the whole purpose of everything then strength? So wouldn't you say that the witch is then sent by God to come and and be the instrument that tests your strength? Also, the witch is also from God. But the devil doesn't create anything. The devil doesn't create anything.
But the devil is the enemy of the progress.
Let me ask you. Do you think that God is powerful?
Yeah, God is powerful.
Then why didn't he kill the devil? I'm asking if you are at war and you have an enemy. You get multiple opportunities to kill your enemy, would you kill your enemy or would you not kill your enemy? No, don't answer like you're answering for God. Just answer as a human being. Don't answer like you're answering for God. God has his own answers. God sent me here to also come and just challenge you guys on this Friday because he knows you guys are depressed because you don't have money. And other kids are having money. The guys from Rosinger, they are in town this weekend. So all of you regular guys are at home or what?
Yeah. We are listening to you.
My dear. Okay, so. But let's go there. Let's go there.
I would kill the enemy.
You would kill the enemy? And you are made by whom?
By the God.
And he is your creator, right? Is he living?
Yeah.
He's alive.
He's alive, yeah.
Where is he?
He's in the spirit.
How can he be alive if he's in the spirit? Is spirit alive?
Yes.
Is spirit alive?
Yeah.
So all the spirits that are walking around here, they are alive?
No.
Hey.
Okay, let's go on.
You guys like church, but you guys don't know how to answer church questions. Okay. You know, when I talk like this, people think that I'm like one of those people that hate Jesus. But I'm not really, I'm not really a fan. Mara, let me ask now. So your book, your storybook, it talks about, your storybook talks about there being no relationship between the dead and the living. Right? The Bible says that there's no relationship between the dead and the living. Is Jesus dead or alive?
Come again?
Is Jesus dead or alive?
Jesus will come back.
Hello? People don't come back from death. That's why he has not come back because he is dead.
We are expecting the resurrection of Jesus.
And then what if you die and then there's no resurrection of this Jesus?
There's no such a thing.
You know, ne?
Let's not go there, man.
Of course, okay. But then the witches are also made by God, right?
No, the witch is from the devil.
But they are made by God. It's God's products. Just like the devil is also God's product. Isn't it? Lucifer. Lucifer is most a product of God. God made Lucifer. Basically, Lucifer is the son of God also. even if he wants to overtake him, he was made by God.
Yeah, he was made. Okay, yeah.
Isn't it?
Let's agree, he was made by God.
Because it's true. It's not even a let's agree to disagree. It's agree. Because he was made by God. Because, you know, the angels, you know, the kingdom.
Okay.
He made heaven and earth, right?
Okay, the previous speaker, he was against the witches or was
He was against, basically.
So
he wants a world where we don't believe in witchcraft. We don't practice witchcraft. We don't do that. Because everything that happens to you guys want to associate it to witchcraft.
We always point finger to the devil.
Okay, but sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's free will. Because if it was the devil, then God wouldn't give us free will, Moses. He would just leave us in his will, and then the devil would come and would not be able to tempt us, because the devil is most tempting us, but we have a choice, right?
Yeah, we have a choice, yeah.
So, okay, so you guys go to church, you guys believe in the living God, and you guys don't believe in witchcraft. You think that witchcraft is a person that can do what exactly? Apart from using the term Bluetooth, what can a witch do?
It's playing, miraculous.
Just like the pastor. The pastor is also playing miracles in his church. But you guys don't call him a witch.
Yeah, those are made of God.
I just want to beat you up. Like, hey, you are one of those people that if I lived close to you every day, I'll beat you. If I lived close to you every day, I'll be beating you. Like, Okay, so those ones are men of God. But they are also performing miracles. No, but they are also performing miracles, just like the witches are performing miracles. But yet, you guys want to say that this one is better than the other.
Yeah.
Why is this one better than the other?
Because of their work, man. Speak volumes.
Okay, but what do you call it when you say pantu? Okuya pantu. Yeah, pantu, kuya pantu.
Kupula pula pantu.
Okuya pantu.
When
you're having a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you consult a traditional healer, a witch doctor.
A witch doctor.
Mm-hmm. To help you with your problem. Are they still bad?
Only those people that believe in that.
No, but are they still bad? The ones that are assisting you out of it. So you were done in mad, and then the church is not helping. Then you decide that, man, I need to do something. Then you decide to go pantu, and then this pantu person helps you and heals you. Who said so? How do you know? Why do you guys believe in white people's ancestors, but you don't want to believe in your own ancestors?
Who says that one is the ancestors?
No. Why do you believe in white ancestors, but you don't believe in your own ancestors? You guys know every dude in the Bible who happens to be somebody's ancestor, who happens to be dead, and you guys reference and talk about these people all the time. But you know, in your family, there was no Jacob.
The Bible is the book of reference. It's a point of reference.
Okay, point of reference to your ancestors or to other people's ancestors. No, but that's what you say, right? That's what you say, but in action, that's not what you're displaying. Because you guys are reading about Lot and Lot's wife all the time. And you guys are reading about Noah. You guys are reading about Moses parting the seas. What do you call somebody that can stand with a stick and open the sea in the middle? Is that not witchcraft? But when he does it, it's a miracle. But when I do it here in Onamatende, it's witchcraft. What do you call a person that is walking on water? It's a miracle there. At the white people, it's a miracle. But then here, if I walk on water, it's witchcraft.
Yeah, because
they are white.
You're not because they are white.
No, but what do you mean by the power is different? If I am, if we are taught, right, that every single human being is a craft of God, we are made by God, all of us. The one that walked on water is made on God. And the one that is parting seas here in Onamatende is made from God. So is there no remote possibility that everything belongs to God? Even the witchcraft, even the ability to heal, the ability to be a herbalist, to be a seer. Is it not... Is it not all made by God? Or is it only white people things that are made by God? Because there is, how is it not white people, right? When you guys are following basically a religion that is dominated by white people, it was even brought to you by white people.
But it was also brought to you by white people.
Do you trust them? They took your land, yeah? They took your freedom. They took your economy. They took all these things. They took all these things from you, but you still want to trust in the God that they brought you. But how come you don't practice that God? No, but I'm asking, how come you don't practice that God? Who told you? I'm asking a question. Before you continue, I'm asking a question. Who told you that it is the same God? How do you know?
How do you know?
Yeah.
It is in the Bible.
Okay, the same Bible that came from the colonizer.
It's not from the colonizer.
Who came? Who brought the Bible?
The Bible was written for the story of Moses.
No, are you sure?
Yes.
No, that's not true because it was only the commandments that was written. In Moses' era. Because it's other people's history.
It is other people's history.
Because if you are looking at John the Baptist, right? There's a whole story about John the Baptist. Who he is, where he comes from, who his mother is, why he was banished to the caves, and why he said that God is the Jesus is the King of all kings. There is a whole story about it. What do you know about stories that are told in ancient times? Stories that are told in ancient times are called history.
Most of the verses, they are in parables.
They're in parables, but we can understand basics, right? And the basics is who it is. We understand that this is a dead person's story. That's why we are told about Cain and Abel.
What's happening?
So if a black person does it, then it's witchcraft. And then if it's a white person. No, but it's true. Because right now you are saying that the black people and the white people, they all have the same God, right? But then you are taught strictly that there is no link between the dead and the living, but yet, right, you guys live your lives in accordance to dead people's paths. You want to be tested like what was his name, and was it Job? Job. You want to be tested like Job, and you want to go into a whale's mouth like Jonah.
Mm.
You guys know all their history, but you guys don't know your own history.
We know.
Okay.
Unless you are not.
Okay, then who was the God of the black people?
He's the same God.
No, but who was? No. But that's what I'm saying. That you know everything there, right?
Mm.
But here you can't even tell me that who the black people's God was.
Black people, they were also not believing the idols.
They didn't believe in idols. So who were their gods?
He's the God of the gods.
Oh. The God of gods.
Yeah.
What is it called in your mother tongue? In your mother tongue?
It's not that Kalunga Kanangobe.
Kalunga Kanangobe was the God of rain.
Okay. Maybe I was misguided.
So we call our doctors, our traditional healers, or onganga there too, we call them witches. We call them witches, but it's not onganga. No, onganga means doctor. Yeah, but then if you want to put it in English, you want to call them a witch. Because they have the ability to help you. They are witches.
Yeah, because they have charms.
Oh, okay. Where do these charms come from?
I don't know who invented the charm.
Maybe it was God.
Well, yeah, but the wisdom maybe is also from the God.
Eh.
Because God is always dressed the work of the hands.
My friend. No, the Bible is contradictory. Come on. This is not even something I have to tell you. This is something that you feel in your own spirit, but you don't want to go against it because you are afraid of the wrath of your ancestors, of your white ancestors. You are afraid of the wrath of your white ancestors. So you don't want to go against it, but you know it's contradictory. Because it's a storybook. It teaches beautiful principles.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, it teaches great principles. It's not that it's a bad book, but it's just that. It's just a storybook. It's just a storybook, just like any other book, where they are telling us about somebody's ancestors. Because they are names. It's only that, it's not that Africans, it's only that Africans, or let's say Namibians, we didn't have the ability to read and to write so that we could document our stuff. But had we had the same...
We can just embrace it now.
Why are we embracing a thing that's not ours? Maybe that's why we are lost. Maybe we are lost in this world because we don't have any connection to our ancestors and we are praising other people's ancestors. So does Jesus' life just end there at crucifixion? How old was he when he died, Dan? 35? You don't know. You don't know. And then when he came back, did he get married? Did he start a family? And so he was just celibate or what? No pum pum.
He said to save us.
No, and then he came back. And then after he came back, did he rise to the heavens as a living person? Or what happened? Because it kind of just stops there. Kucha, he was crucified and died on the cross for us. And then he came back. And then when he came back, what happened after that? Oh, and then, like, did the story just end there? Did he die again, or what happened?
Yeah, he went back to his father.
Did he walk or did he drive? Did he walk to heaven? Because the first time around, we know how he went to heaven. He was crucified. But when he came back, how did he go back to his father? When did he go back to his father?
He died again.
He died again. How? How did he die again? What was it? What did the autopsy say? Heart attack? Died in his sleep? Natural causes?
My memory is not serving me.
Your memory is not serving you because there is nothing in your memory about it. It is not a memory. It's new information. And to come and make it seem like you actually know. You don't. You don't. Because that is the one. You know how many times that, do you know how you can identify, right? Colonialism or racism is that, do you know the name of the guy that helped Jesus carry his cross?
It's not Simon.
Oh. Where was he from, this Simon? Where was he from? Where was he from? What nationality or what ethnicity was he?
Most of those people, they are all from the Israelites.
He was black. He was African.
Oh, maybe he's from Egyptian, but...
But they don't talk about it. That's why you guys have movies with white Cleopatra. But anywho, so, you don't want to be a witch?
I don't want to take part in that.
Oh, okay. You want to be a Christian?
I don't believe in superstition.
What if you get to the other side, ne, and then your ancestors are standing outside there, and they're like, you failed us, man. I'm in Dalandula, Jesus, wapeni. Oh, when she could take what Dara could ye? What Dara could marry an ayo chef? Eh, oh, in ayo, marry an ayo chef or ye?
They are all from the Jacob's family.
So it was Maria, Jacob, and Joseph, Jacob, what?
Yeah.
Maria Yakopo. Na Yosefa Yakopo. Was it a brother and sister thing or what? What happened? Who are Maria's parents?
Hello?
Who was Maria's mother?
Maria's mother. I cannot recall, okay?
It's not that you can't recall, you don't know. How? Like you
they are all from the Jacob's family.
So were the Jacob's family like hillbillies or what? Taira rapo. Ningo ninyan. Taiho kanapo. The Jacob's family, taiho kanapo ara. Even if they are cousins, so she's situation, ashafa shoshira mwano. Ningo shikwashikano shirimaya akopu akwetu.
Chonga
aka. Shiringi nyano. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that caller was clearly not paying attention. But before that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a little break and then we are going to return.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapombwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete okoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pombo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi Dai loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamwili nawa, ninge fada fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko derewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to someone who does not know how to? Good evening. Hello. I can hear everything in the background, but I cannot hear you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
So tell me something. Atukata mekuro diwe tu na kanong here. Eh, tuke afundiro mavine. Yeah. Fund. Oshone andipura kucha. I think, honestly, everything has good and bad. You want that one? How much? You want that one?
Not that I want it, eh?
But if you get it, you will appreciate it. I'm asking. I know a guy that can hook you up. I'm just asking if you need some. You know how other people are selling drugs? That's why selling witchcraft. So when you hear witchcraft, what do you think? Like, what's the first thought on your mind?
My first thought on my mind is,
hectic, eh?
Guys, those. But all in all, when I think of witchcraft now, it's when I think of witchcraft and shondudu. But are these people even real?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you, Lily.
I feel like these are just people that wants to eat in the name of knowing something that they are also not sure of. But yeah, maybe. But when I think of witchcraft and Nishiri, I think it's just a person that is just the under to eat people's money.
So you don't think it's real, you just think it's just some guy that's like, these people are having problems. Let me call them up and let's see, you know, if I can play with their minds.
I feel like they are not real. Ask mommy. Committed, but yeah, they say once it arrives, then Opoto should believe it, but yeah, I don't think it's okay. Maybe not.
So you don't think that people are tarowa? I'm watching you do it, and I'm like, wait a minute, why is she laughing, this girl? Aya na tupotenga.
But yeah, sure. And tohara was it? But okay, I was actually watching a Nigerian movie. Was it yesterday? Then that is why I got to believe Kuchaya, witchcraft is real.
Okay.
Because I feel like in quite a lot of Nigerian movies, they teach us, but we just don't know. We just don't pay attention. But these are the things that are being done. So, yeah.
Okay, so what is Okwisinga?
No, like just the thing.
Just the thing yourself. Or just the things that you do.
Yes, and then all of a sudden, no, on the low.
You roga yourself. How do you give yourself your own numpsa?
It's just how we behave towards others also. Like,
and if we had to say it in English, wouldn't that just be karma?
Because karma comes back
at you. Yeah. So your bad deeds and your bad actions come back to you. They come back to haunt you times 10 because the universe does not forget. Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it will. But you believe in witchcraft?
Me?
Hey.
I do. Yes.
Okay. And what makes you believe?
I believe that witchcraft is real. I believe that there are those in the world that practice a dark magic and there are those that practice a light magic, right? And dark magic.
You know, there's this phrase, I don't know if it's real, mate, but it has been used quite a lot of times in occasions where I've been. This thing of saying no.
Because God sees all.
So, no, because God, like what it says in the Bible, what it says, before I formed you, I knew you.
Yeah.
And then now.
So he knew what he was creating, and he still put it out into the universe. So he knew, Kucha, this is a born criminal, this one.
So me being a witch doctor, it's God's will.
Well, the thing, what we have to, when we talk about witchcraft, or what I feel when we talk about witchcraft, one thing that we also have to cover is what exactly it is seen as. So we as Africans, right, we believe that witchcraft is this bad thing. And under this witchcraft, we've got the healers, we've got the what, we've got, we don't even really know how to fully define it. We just know that witchcraft is bad. Arodi, they are bad. Right? But we tend to umbrella everybody else that is under this, ne? Under a spiritual realm or under the constitution of the spiritual realm, right? We classify everything in one box, but it's because of where we come from. Now, if you were going to conquer a people, right? Especially a people that is significantly more powerful than you could ever be. They are more wealthier. They are more advanced even with technology. Because if you see the pyramids, if you see the architecture in Africa, if you see all of this and the wealth that was in Africa, Africa has never been struggling.
Africa has never been struggling.
Yeah. Because if you are saying as an Omwambo woman, Kucha, you guys are poor, what exactly makes you poor? Ehangu ndikuli na nenge omboganji ku na nenge oshiki o sandi ku na o mahungunga ku na, what exactly makes you poor if not being classified poor by the West? So if you were going to conquer a people that is actually very self-sufficient, how would you conquer them? Mm.
Me, I know that I will divide and then I will conquer. So I will cause a division. Whether it is by gossip or by location. So by location, we would be talking about drawing borders. You guys are no longer one people that can just roam into each other's countries the way you want and walk wherever you want. Now this is Angola and this is Namibia and this is Botswana and this is South Africa. And all of these countries belong to whoever they belong to, not to you, the natives, right? That's most now dividing that one and conquering. So part of dividing and conquering is that we create division amongst you guys. And that division can be literal division, where we group a certain set of people into one area. And we'll call this area a country. Right? So that means you guys, now, when you guys see South Africans, you don't like them. Why? Because they are not Namibians. Why? Xenophobia. You guys don't like Zimbabweans. Why? Because they are Zimbabweans. Why? Because xenophobia. And this is now us fighting amongst ourselves, right? And that's the division that has been caused. Now, what else can we come and conquer if not their religion? So, for starters, we have most now our own set of guards. Right? It could be our own set of gods, or it could be our own set of God, because our history is so distorted that somewhere, somehow, there's a lot we have to question. What are you eating, child? The whole audience can hear you. Are you? But the chips packet is very close to you. Okay, so if you are believing in your gods, ne, Karunga ka kwampungwe, right, God of my ancestors, and your God is making it rain there at your house, your God is making it work there, is it not logical for me to come and tell you, Kucha, whoa, there is no connection between the dead and the living, and this thing that you are doing is connecting to the dead. And you are living. So you must stop connecting to your ancestors. Now, if you stop connecting to your ancestors, does that not make you weaker if your essence comes from your ancestors? And how do you really disconnect from the dead if you are the embodiment of the dead because their DNA works within you? If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be. So how is there no connection if I am the connection? Right? So then you stop, right? We are Christians. We go to church. You guys are pagans, right? We are not worshiping our ancestors. Then you guys lose that connection with your ancestors. But your ancestors initially, right? They were guiding you. They were spiritually taking you through life. They were assisting you in whatever way that they were assisting you, right? So now you cut that cord. And then you go and follow who? Go and follow Jesus. Jesus is who? The descendant of his people. Is he not an ancestor? Is praying to Jesus and praying to your ancestors not the same?
No.
Eh. Talk to me, girl. Why do you think it's not the same?
How does it make it the same if... It's kind of two different things.
What are they? Talk to me.
Because this one, I'm praying to Jesus, my creator, and then this one I'm praying to the ancestors. Also, this one's my protector.
But Jesus didn't create nobody.
Oh, he is the son of the creator.
Hey. And Mary.
But I have to pass through him.
Who said you have to pass through him? Why not? Is he not your father? So basically, even in your house, you can't talk to your father. You must go through his son first. What if your query is with his son?
No, this one is a different. This one is another state.
But why is it different? It at the end of the day, right? Let's take our emotions out of it and maybe just practice the concept of logic, right? Without spirituality, without religion.
Okay.
Is Jesus not a living person? Did he not come out of a womb like all of us? Okay, so that makes him a living person. Because he came out of the womb. Because look, God, for me. No, go ahead. Because at the end of the day, what we need to understand is that, God must has the ability to do whatever he wants to do. Because he can. He really can. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can form a miracle right now. You know? He can. So, if he can make people out of sand. You think God doesn't have the power to make more humans out of sand and ribs? Because he creates in different ways. He's an artist. He creates people out of wombs that make them human beings. Then he creates human beings out of ribs, which makes them men, and creates what? Which are women out of ribs, you know, which makes them women, womb with a man, woman or whatever. And then Adam out of sand, but he's still a human being. So there are many cases where God has created from scratch. If he wanted a son, he could have just made one with sand. Like he made Adam and, you know. Another tactic, you know, a more understandable one. For us.
So now in this case, witchcraft and miracle. But witchcraft and miracle is two different things.
How? Talk to me.
Because.
It's not actually. It's just delivery. Witchcraft and miracles are exactly the same thing. It's just delivery. One we call it witchcraft and one we call it miracle. But what do you call making something disappear? It's magic, right?
Magic,
eh? And then what do you call healing somebody that was on the verge of death? A miracle.
Miracle.
Okay. And then what do you call healing somebody that was on the verge of death again on the other side? Miracle. Is it not witchcraft? Is it not only a miracle when white people are doing it or church people are doing it, but then when black people that are not affiliated to the church are doing it, it's witchcraft?
I know. When it comes to black people mentality, it's...
But hold the line.
USAF shelves are stocked with fresh produce, pantry staples and more. All at prices you can afford. Pay only $134.99 for selected Lavis premium disposable nappies, $54.99 for 2 kilos Surf hand washing powder, 750 milliliters Polargrid dishwashing liquid, $14.99, and 400 milliliters Dawn hand and body cream, $29.99. You save, I save, we all save at USAF.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch and Anna. Yes, Anna. So if Onganga, right, if a traditional healer, heals you, what's that?
That one is a mixture of miracle and
And what, my dear?
But it's not weak. Okay. On that, the character, like, I was just gonna heal.
Oh, so he had nothing to do with it whatsoever?
No, he just took part.
Took part in how did he take part? Because it could also be the same, because Jesus was also went to the house of the hoo-hoo that was sick. And then the person got healed. So was it not just okwadikatarukanare? Why is it not okwadikatarukanare manga yesusine? Eh? But when it is Elizabeth, the traditional doctor, ondalikatandialukanare?
But you cannot make witchcraft.
But we don't know what it is. Because even if I'm asking for the definition tonight, like, what is it? Like, what is witchcraft? What is it? Like, none of you guys actually know what it is. We can't define it in our own words, except for the definition from the dictionary. But we can't define it from our own context, because also, at the end of the day, we are African.
Okay, now, how do I say? Now this, you know when, like, like for the child now, and these traditional beads.
Traditional beads. What's traditional beads? Traditional beads, okay? They are called waist beads.
Okay, waist beads. Is it the ancestors or... because it's not witchcraft.
What is it then? What is it? Because everything that is done by black people is bad. Everything done by black people is bad. Everything that's done by culture is bad. It's bad. It's witchcraft. So what is it then?
But it's not bad. It's just trying. It's just protection, I'll say. Because how is Ondiwi and waist beads witchcraft?
How is it witchcraft? Because I don't think it's witchcraft. I think it's cultural. It's an identifier. It is acknowledgement. Because showers, kazare konyoka, you know, kanaka kazare konyoka, ya kazare konyoka kuzamainika, shashingomvali. No, it is an identifier from the father's family. Ungesha rimo na nayo. It can be a mixture, or it can strictly be from the father's side, if it's a girl. Well, it depends on which Azimo you come from. It depends on what your customs are, Mezimo Jenny.
So, even again, whereby Binone, the way. That one also depends which is more in. And Chopin and Donghatra on the what? On the way they put black. Then you'll find some.
But that's not true. Because Andongoilile. Andongoilile, that's why I say that it depends on where you're coming from. Yeah, where you're coming from and what you guys do mezimo jeni. Mezimo ja kwane kamba mezimo ja. Ja kwankara mezimo, you know? Mumazimo gendi ha kuija ha kusinda wan ningishike. Kuja mezimo jetutsatu ningingi. Okanagaza konyoka, onyoka ikarani ina nande onjaimwe yondude no shiki no nyoka nyoka ne yo ene nando onja dirimbali. You know? And that's maybe something that you guys do, mezimo jeni. Yeah, viviri kwara Jenny. It's not to say that it's witchcraft. How can it be witchcraft?
No, I wasn't saying
it could be. It could be diluted, right? It could be diluted by those that don't understand, because also we are a people that are sitting with parents or elders that don't say nothing. They don't explain anything to us at all. I feel like our parents are the worst. They don't explain nothing to us. They don't explain kucha kezi moje tuta tuningenge ne opo tuningenge. You know that you are not allowed to go and just take your child kakazarekwe if your child is not of that those people's family and not takayonkwe ngundishi. Gereka keshi kaka mitilingu ya shiri takayonkwe ngu. And now the question is, do you know the story behind it? No, because they don't say anything. They don't say anything. They don't tell anybody anything. Toi kutenya, and they talk aria nana, tuadapo ikaka, tuadapo njuhwa, tuadapo oimbobo, and an egg. An egg, eh?
Kutenya.
Eh?
Okay.
And you and your friends, shashinyamu and the new friend, demos. Hey, you and your friends, you guys are like, bruh, they even know boiled eggs, bruh. Kwathiranje ukapana spice, huh? Hmm. Eh? Yeah? The guy and his friends now. Kanti, you are pregnant. Kanti, you are wihumpatangwe. The question is, does he know? Because it might not even be his.
So that's the reason they
use
an egg?
Yeah.
But how do they know? Because I told them.
It's your mother. Hello. One day she found you kokai yogero. You in your stomach. And sometimes they put two doves there. On the side. Then you're like, brah, we had chicken and onguti, brah. Those people are so woke. Kanti, the person has two kids.
Now you're not supposed to eat them.
No, you can eat them. It's just that they are telling you. Yeah. So that you don't go and beat people's kids because they didn't tell you that they are having two kids. So that the family can say that no, but we told you when you came kutenga, on kutinthia
zilimbarinvi.
How did you not know? Because it's not our job to teach you your culture. Then you are supposed to do better research. No, pura moya kweni. I don't think we actually have any idea on what witchcraft is. I think that witchcraft is just a word. Yeah, it's just a word that we use, but we don't understand. Because you can also roga somebody for good. Ushimoshua nawa. Ton logwa la kucha, you know what?
Is that considered as okuroga?
Yeah. Ototi ne oshikwashikene ngerondayamo spiritual realm, ndetandikurogero shimoshua nawa. No, but that's the thing, right? We have only ever heard one side of it from sour and bitter people.
But normally that's just how it is.
But is there no light and darkness in this world? Is everything in this world not yin and yang?
But, okay, now in stories that you have you ever heard a person that ayaranando konganga?
There are people, yes.
Isn't the reason we go?
No, but this is not about the customer.
It's about
the practitioner. You don't know anything. Kushkurohangwe. That's why to ipon lo dine. Dishi? Eh. On lo dite te kurohere ne on tuwe. Nenge? There's never been anybody that has gone and said that, no, I want this thing to go away from me. It's too good in my life. Everybody just thinks that they are having amazing lives. Like Oshirin Dinare, Ragonai. Logero kana kanjerago. Tikulogele lagongwe. Everywhere you go. Ah, yeah, it's just because you don't understand. You must probably already have it. What is the difference between okushirogera no kushikalero? Okay, and okushirogera, like okuloga oshike. Yeah. These are just words that we have grown up hearing, but nobody has ever explained them to you. Has anybody ever explained to you what is okuloga, ninge onlovi? Oh, weshifatulilwa, that's the question. That is why I say that many of us are not even supposed to be going into such conversations, because we clearly have no idea what it is. We don't even know what it is. We are just speaking from the perspective of being young. Kucha idiga ke yuru toro wanena. Stoipo katika antunge. Soko itakutiwa idiga ke yuru toro wakalodi. Tamani yapu idigane. I think I only stopped it like when I was big. Because it became now something that was embarrassing to do every time I go somewhere and divigike yuru no kan location.
Yeah. But okay, now again
is
also a difference between okuroga and oku
nokuthinga. What is the difference, sis?
No, I'm asking. Etepura.
In all honesty, I have no idea.
But you just said you believe in witchcraft.
I believe in witchcraft. I believe that it is there. I believe that it is practiced. I also believe that the witchcraft that is said is an English term that takes out onjo out of everything, because what English does is cause confusion amongst your own vernacular. That's why you can say particular words in English and think that you have articulated yourself properly more than your mother tongue. So if the term and the concept is going to be witchcraft, then so be it. But I do believe in it. I believe that there is good and there is bad in everything. I understand that you don't believe that they can be good in witchcraft, because you don't understand from which angle I understand it. I understand it like you can say that religion. I understand it that from the concept of, okay, so there's witchcraft, and then under witchcraft there's ancestry, there is astrology, there is Christianity, there is all of it, because everything is magic, right? And everything is on a dimension that not all of us can tap into. But I'm gonna let you hold the line one last time, okay?
Kuranga o mathimbo gamwe kucha omoroshike tuna ompango odhindji dhomoondjila ngaashi ino taagulukila shaampoka, ino hinga kohiyodhungo, ino hinga nomatayela gapapa, ino hingilila omoroshoka inatuhala okutula onkalamwenyo yoye moshiponga, ino ninga omuyalulwa, ino ninga oshinene nima, kala omulongithi woondjila omwiinekelwa, ninga shoka shomondjila eto hupitha omwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with Anna and another caller. Good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Talk to me and talk to us. I'm here with Anna. As we are asking questions, guys.
Yeah, those questions, I wish I can answer them, but the problem is I don't have time. But I just wanted to say, you are asking Anna questions that I can answer.
Yes, but who are we supposed to ask? Is she not a person?
Man, people also that those that are old
But the old people, they don't want to tell us. Because if they wanted to tell us, and they would have told us Uro the Onge. But they don't tell us nothing, those ones.
No, it's not that they don't tell us nothing, it's just that we were not matured enough to know.
How can they tell us when we are kids? How? So that we can learn what now?
No, if they tell us, then we will be not. I mean, you know, imagine a kid cannot hold anything, and then you tell her, then you go to play with other kids. You go to, you know, my grandmother told me we have a snake at the house, you know.
No, but those ones are your family secrets. There's a difference. But explaining. Okay, so what is onlodi?
Onlodi?
Mm-hmm.
A witchcraft.
A person that performs witchcraft.
A person that performs witchcraft. Yeah, this is a person that has the ability to access the spiritual realm.
Okay, the ability to access the spiritual realm. What is in the spiritual realm?
Eh?
What is in the spiritual realm?
Almost in the spiritual realm, there's everything.
Okay, so everything in terms of?
Let me just say it this way that...
I want you to answer quickly before you go. Just answer so that we can go and sleep in peace. Don't be an adult, yeah? Because adults, they like those things of, you. When you are older, you will understand. As we will not understand. That's why we're here.
Okay, yes.
So what is in the spiritual realm?
A spiritual realm is more like looking at two babies. When you look at the kid 2 years old, you can know that this one is going to be a farmer or a nurse by the way.
So you can see the future, you can predict the future.
You can predict. In the spiritual realm, you can see everything. You can see, like, if I look at you, I can even see, if I look at you from the spiritual realm, perspective point of view, I can see a lot. I can even see things that are destined to happen. I can even see... The link, why are these things happening? It might be some, I can even think because this or that and that and that. This is the question that I don't know who asked the difference between okuloga and noku. What was that?
Okuloga and noku think.
Okuloga and noku singa.
Yeah.
Oku singa, I'm uttering a word, a cursing word, but I'm not doing anything.
Oh, so it's cursing.
No, I just cast, and then I just say a word that will be permanent on your life. You know, I
like what? Like, ngonwelengo?
No, not like that.
Like what?
Let me say, I can say, that person is not going to go anywhere.
Okay, so that's a curse.
That's a curse.
Yeah.
And now, when I said that, now it will come to the balance of what the words are on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm talking now the ratio between the blessings and the curse.
Okay.
So if the ratio of curse goes too much in the ratio of blessings, then the spirit will start to manifest in your life.
Okay. So in the spiritual realm, there's nothing that's good there.
No, in the spiritual realm, in challenges, there's almost everything. If you are going to see a job, at least first appear in the spiritual realm.
Okay, so there is good. In the spiritual realm. So Alodi have the ability to be good also?
No, Alodi have the ability to see in the spiritual realm.
Just to see. They are just seers.
They see and they access and they can also interchange in the spiritual realm.
Okay, they can interchange to change your destiny.
Yeah. Well, let me say I look. Who is the coral I have?
Anna, are you there? My dear, you must participate so we learn. Eh?
Let me say when I speak to Anna like this.
Yeah.
I notice in the spiritual realm that Anna has the possibility of being married in the next 2 years, right?
Mm.
Where else?
God forbid. I'm joking, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Where else I have also a daughter of the same age with Anna, you know.
Mm.
And then when I look on my daughter's side, there is nothing. And this Anna doesn't understand the things that I are manifesting in the spiritual realm. So I can interchange destiny. Like I make the destiny of my daughter to be Anna's and then Anna's wife. So at the end of the day, Anna will never be married. And then mine out of the group, boom, you hear she's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
That's the spiritual realm.
But and that is what makes you unlodge.
No, that's just somebody who can access that.
Okay, so it's just a person that can access the spiritual realm.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily do anything to another person. Okay. Oh, wait. It's a person that can access the spiritual realm and has the ability to interchange something.
Yes.
So how about I go into the spiritual realm, I see a car accident happening, and then I change that. Am I still bad?
You have the power to do that.
Yeah, but am I still bad now?
No, you're not bad.
Then why am I called unworthy?
Yeah, but okay, to answer that question, I would say like, there is now two ways of accessing the spiritual realm.
Okay.
Two ways. One of which, through initiation.
Mm-hmm.
And through initiation, it's like you are being introduced to a certain altars that become big. Like, for you to grow power, you have to be introduced to more altars.
Mm-hmm.
Now these altars, they always demand what is bad or what is soft. Like they are saying, for we to allow you to do that, you must be able to do this for us. So when you are going in the spiritual realm, you see another person from a different altar is causing an accident. You don't have the right to challenge that person because you're almost using the same means of transport.
Mm.
And on the other hand, you can access the spiritual realm of now using now the spirit of God.
Uh-huh.
So. Okay.
But is there a link? Because the spiritual realm is filled with dead people, isn't it?
Filled with dead people.
Dead.
No, in a spiritual realm there's no distance, so there's no time also.
Okay.
And what?
Speak up, my dear. Speak like a real girl. Come on.
Like, does this come normally, or you go look for it?
No, a spiritual realm is just something that...
It's when your third eye opens. The witches don't want us to hear you. We can't hear you, us. The Lordies, bruh. The Lordies are like, you can't hear this. Uh-huh.
Other lady was telling me a story of her cousin.
Mm.
Who borrowed clothes from a certain vendor,
yeah.
and then she failed to pay.
Yeah.
And then later on, this her cousins turned like mad.
Oh.
Start to eat feces, not to whatever like that. And then they contacted that same guy, and then the same guy says, You must pay like three times the amount that she owes me, and then they pay that, and then the person can come back to normal.
Okay, but isn't that just a criminal?
Hmm?
Isn't that just a criminal?
A criminal? No,
yeah,
no,
she is a criminal. And is it not justice? Because this person was not going to do anything to you.
Okay.
But you are a criminal.
No, I wanted us to look at it from a different perspective point of view.
Okay.
To say that this person was normal, then he become abnormal, and then he become normal again. You know, you feel like there's something that was done for that abnormal to come because just get uncomfortable. You used to not to do these things, you know. So that thing, this person accessed the spiritual realm and decided, okay, now in the spiritual realm, I'm going to command spirits to make sure that she ran mad, and spirit to take over this person from the command that was said in the spiritual realm. And now that command will give now the spirit power over this person. Because you see, this power, this spirit has too much power. So you see, a mad person will even carry a fridge that you are not even, two people cannot kill. It's that power that comes with spirit. So now, a spiritual realm is just something whereby if you access it, you'll be able to see the future, the past, and it's like the past, the present, and the future. You'll be able to see it. And the
spiritual realm is created by who? By God?
Spiritual realm is, you know, God, how the Bible says God is a spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way he can communicate to you is by spirit, because he cannot sit there and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's by spirit. So now spirit uses now this spiritual realm whereby there's now a presence of angels, a messenger of God, and so there's also a presence of angels and messengers of Satan. So,
but why didn't God kill the devil?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. If God could have killed the devil, imagine when the devil sinned, there was a court of angels sinned with the devil.
Mm.
So if God could have destroyed that quota, you know, there would be this remaining angel would feel like, no.
Every time you say something important, the network cuts.
I'm saying,
the what? If you would have killed the angels?
Yeah, the remaining angel will start to serve God out of fear. And that is no more saving.
How does he know?
How does he know? Okay, imagine you have a father. And your father tells you that if you sneak out of my house,
yeah, I'll kill you. Yeah.
I said I'll beat you. And then your elder sister sneak out of the house.
And then she gets beaten.
And then she got big things, man. Of you. And then I invite you, Matia, just sneak out of the house. You would want to come for me, but you fear that beatings. So you will no longer be serving. You will no longer be serving your father because of love, but you are serving because of fear. No, God wants to be saved out of love.
So basically, God is punishing us by making us stay here with the devil because he doesn't want his employees to think that he's a bad boss.
It's like
you saying that I can't fire my employee because then the rest of my employees that are not bad, they will stay here out of fear of what might happen to them if they decide to be bad or to leave.
If you see it from that view, but we're supposed to see it from this view to say like it also gives you a free will. Also, a chance.
He gave human beings a free will. He did. There's nothing about giving angels a free will.
Human beings to choose.
Between good and evil. But the angels now. Because this whole story started most done with God and the devil here and Lucifer here. So why didn't he just eliminate the enemy?
Eliminate the enemy.
So basically, he's just letting us suffer because he doesn't want to be seen as a bad guy.
To be honest.
Who hung up? Anna? Oh, you are there. Please call back, caller. Me and Anna, we are here.
I was very invested.
I was even like deep in my imagination. I was like, wait a minute. So this guy, basically, he's just letting us suffer here because he doesn't want to be seen as a bad guy by the angels.
Because it's
kind of giving shady.
But I thought it was giving points.
No, he gave points. What did you understand?
No, I understood that Nani Lovies are what?
People that can see within the spiritual realm are Noah and?
So, and they can already tell, because I know this one has a destiny. So I'm going to take it and place it somewhere. And
the problem is that they take it and place it somewhere to people that don't actually deserve it. Because if it's your destiny, right, you are just supposed to be deserving it and you get your thing because you'll appreciate it. Now they go and give it to Cleo. Cleopatra Shiri, she doesn't even want marriage things. Now it's just some dude that's following this poor lady around and the father forcing, yeah, just marry him. 3 years later they are divorced. The points we're giving.
Yeah, they were. He should call back.
He must call back.
Please tell him to call back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So from here, maybe we'll be witches together. In the spiritual realm. What I know about the spiritual realm is that there is always positive energy and there is negative energy. There is no entity created by God that is not positive and negative because that is what he represents. Hence the concept of free will. So every single realm or dimension that was created by the maker has a good and a bad. It has free will. So you seeing, right?
gives you the opportunity to say that I'm going to steal it, this is something bad, and consequences will follow, or I'm not going to do anything, and this is good, and consequences will follow. I do believe in karma, I do believe in balance, I do believe that the world is a dirty, dirty place. I'm not even saying that there are not bad people, I'm saying that there are hella bad people. People that are really, really bad enough to take somebody's destiny, like, I'm just gonna take somebody's destiny, you know? And now you have no idea what's happening to you, and it is what it is. But I also do believe that some people do really honestly have the power, right, to bewitch themselves with the things that they do. And that type of bewitchment is called karma.
Oh.
I think that bewitchment is called karma because it comes back like a boomerang times 10, depending on the magnitude, right, of the pain. And also, sometimes the pain's magnitude is not all that, and then we are the ones that are extremist, and we go and seek now for vengeance and for what. Oh, we are just bad at heart. Maybe, my dear, or maybe not, but we might as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me go wait for the daddy to call back.
Yeah, okay. So this was the first time that we had a three-way call here on Pulling Heartstrings. Whoa! History! Three-way call, my dear. Wow. All right, Anna. Bye, my darling.
Ciao.
Ciao.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to look at what the other kids are saying about witchcraft, and we are going to dive back and dive into it. Just hold that thought, ladies and gentlemen.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukara yako.
Thanks for having me. My name's Lauren. I'm the founder of The Unseen and a material alchemist. I thought I'd just take you through my journey and tell you a little bit about what's happened to me along the way and what I do. So the theme of my talk is really why I believe in magic. And as the talk theme is around home, I thought the best place to start would be at home. So I was born in Salford, but I grew up in a rural kind of Lancashire town full of hills and grass and nature. And we didn't have a computer, and it was kind of like, you know, back in the day, we would draw trees, not necessarily just Google them. And I spent all of my time playing in nature and getting stung by nettles and searching for dock leaves to fix them and making potions out of plants and then in true entrepreneurial spirit trying to sell them to my mum and dad. So that's kind of where it began. And where I grew up was very close to Pendle, so the Pendle witches were sort of, you know, always a theme when Halloween came up. And I guess magic has always been close to my heart and just something I've always been interested in, especially when looking at nature and learning from nature. My parents work in fashion, but before that, in their early career, they worked in engineering. My dad spent many years sat really meticulously drawing out plans and commercializing Spirograph. I don't know if anybody remembers Spirograph, but it was like this thing where you just drew. No Photoshop, no Illustrator, no technology. He would hand draw every tool that would go into producing the kits that you hopefully as kids you got to play with. So again, engineering and science was always around me as I grew up. Later on in my dad's career, he gave up engineering and decided to start a fashion brand with my mum, where she ran the women's and he ran the men's. And I spent all of my kind of childhood to early teens in the back of a stock room, drawing on new marketing campaigns, dressing up and pretty much pretending I was a fashion designer. And I became obsessed with one particular designer, Alexander McQueen, because I just loved his creative storytelling and his imagery and all of the sort of new press reports that came through every season. I would be in the back on a Saturday when my parents were working, looking at all of this stuff. And I didn't realize at the time, but McQueen used a lot of technology and a lot of new innovations to tell his stories. So things like holograms, And this particular sort of hologram of his with Kate Moss always stuck into my mind. And at that point, I was like, right, this is what I want to do. I want to create. I want to work in fashion. But back to magic, my first interaction with magic as a kid was when I found a four-leaf clover. So as I said, I used to hunt in nature all the time, and I'm pretty persistent. And I found this four-leaf clover one day and like went running into the house and was like, oh my God, look, I found this one in a million magic four-leaf clover. And then I took it to school for show and tell, and I was so proud of it. And everyone was like, you faked it. That's not real. You've just stuck another leaf on it. And I was so angry because I hadn't. I'd like spent hours and hours and hours as a kid like this, like trying to find a four-leaf clover. And then when I found one, no one believed me. And I was like, I was just so miffed off, basically. So I left home at 8. and I went off, and my dad loves telling the story because I sort of ventured off down the lane and packed my four-leaf clover in my money box, and that was it. I was like, I've had enough of you lot, I'm going. And he still says today, if you didn't follow me making werewolf noises and dragging me back kicking and screaming, I don't think I'd ever come back. But 10 years later at 18, I did leave and I went to university to study fashion. However, sort of 2 months into fashion course, I became incredibly ill and ended up having to take the year out and go into hospital. And I think any sort of 18-year-old, when they then are taken away from their dream and put into a hospital and in an incredible amount of pain, you're going to get pretty annoyed at the world and a pretty angry person. And I spent all of that kind of, that year being diagnosed with all sorts of different conditions, but essentially I was just in pain, and what it uncovered was that I'd actually fractured my spine. But I found it really hard to articulate my feelings and my pain levels to my doctors and also to my parents and my friends. And I was getting treated very much in a system where it was okay to say, what pain are you in, 1 to 10? And for me, I couldn't put a number to the amount of pain I was in, because how did I know that I wouldn't suffer more pain or less pain? So I just found it hard. So when I went back to university, I didn't want to just create fashion for fashion's sake anymore. I had a real chip on my shoulder, and I really wanted to answer some of the messages that as a person, or answer some of the feelings that I'd been having as a person, and try and communicate that back to somebody who, you know, wasn't inside me. So I forced my way over to the chemistry department, because what else did I know? Well, I knew science. So I went over there and I said, look, I want to work together, I want to understand material, and I want to try and create something that allows me to visualize the pain that I've been having. I ended up working on a compound that didn't necessarily visualize my pain, but it visualized the Earth's pain. So it looked at carbon emission. And I ended up creating a molecule and a compound that absorbs air pollution. So it changes color from yellow to black to tell you how much air pollution you've absorbed each day. And I had this kind of like standoff moment where 4 years into going like this every day, similar to finding the four-leaf clover, I was making compound, like making various adjustments and very learn and tell, having had no science background, to create this compound. I realized that actually, if I give you a book of facts and data and I tell you your carbon emission footprint, you're not really going to listen to it. But if I put you in this jacket and put you behind a bus and you visually see that, then you're going to have more of an emotional attachment to it and perhaps want to change the way that you live and work every day. So rather than go on to study a kind of PhD and carry on in that, to me it was all about this storytelling and the messaging and how I could get that into someone's hands and let them interact with it rather than it stay in research. So I went to the Royal College of Art to study textiles to really learn the creative side of the science and what should the compound be and what's the color and what's the message and how should the human interact with it. I graduated with a series of inks and also a series of garments, which Kate Moss and Tim Walker actually shot together. This is one of them. And it was a series of feathers that changed color. And it was that kind of childhood dream again, although I was down these kind of crazy missions, the sort of, you know, 11-year-old Lauren that was coloring Kate Moss in at 11, finally was dressing her, which was, you know, an incredible moment. So I decided maybe I should set my own thing up, because there wasn't anything that existed that worked in science and also worked in design. So I went on to set my own company up. And I was like, what shall I call it? So I took a step back, and I have a load of sketchbooks and blogs and stuff that I don't show anyone, that I keep for myself. And I took a step back one day, and I was like, I'm not necessarily just interested in fashion and not necessarily interested in science. What I'm interested in is being curious about the world that I live in and myself and anything unseen. So I was like, you know, I'm interested in pollution, I'm interested in data, I'm interested in DNA and building structures, in all of this kind of unseen stuff that I can't, as a human, understand. So I wanted to...
The second time I was accused of witchcraft, I was 25 years old and going to Africa my first time to conduct field research. My research that summer took me, a white woman from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, just starting her PhD program, to a small rural community in Eastern Africa, in Tanzania. Our goal that summer was investigating the origin of our species, documenting and excavating sites associated with those long-lost ancestors. And while we were ultimately successful in doing this, and this is work we continue to this day, it was not the scientific truths that we uncovered, but rather the truths, the accusation of witchcraft revealed about myself and my work as an archaeologist that resonates with me to this day. So, what happened was this. Myself, my PhD researcher, her other PhD student, a Tanzanian archaeologist, and several government officials were working in a community. We were excavating a site that was directly adjacent to a village. And of course, we drew a lot of interest. It's not every day that people show up in your backyard and dig some holes, I imagine. And so local people visited our site on a daily basis, and they expressed a very serious and often suspicious concern about the work that we were doing in their own backyard. And again, this not being an everyday occurrence, we can validate some of that suspicion right off the bat. But the reality is many communities across the globe are suspicious of the work that archaeologists do. We are scientists representing the scientific community, and that draws much suspicion. Of course, there's lots of tensions around resource extraction and use, and of course, misgiving about foreign interests in our communities, on our land, in our nations. So used to this suspicion and used to this interest, we continued to dig. And we dug because we had all of the right permissions in place. Visas and permits, research clearance. We had funding. And so we continued our work in pursuit of scientific truths. But suspicion creates tension, and the tensions would continue to rise at the site, culminating on the 17th of August in 2006, when a fight would break out, a fight between my Tanzanian colleague and the individuals who'd been observing us excavating at the site every day. Now, this fight occurred in Swahili, and I still have only baby Swahili to this day, so I understood very little of what was going on, but I'd never heard a shouting match and words being exchanged in anger at an archaeological site before. But this was one word I did understand. Mzungu. White person. Some other words I understood were this. Chupa ya maji, or water bottle. White person, water bottle. Why are they arguing? Well, there was another word I heard, but I didn't understand until my Tanzanian colleague explained to me what it means.
Onda karhandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka ne data no shoyo outumaraka mahupi. O netweka imwe, okufuta rumwe, okuinyenga rumwe, okujapa ndali. Fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga onetweka oyo hai dira dira ya fange. Omafikwa amwe ohandi streaming. Omafikwa amwe ohandi popi. Omafikwa amwe ohandi ningaishe poshikanto shimwe. Pamwe na parateza. Oenda holora. Ame haishi pangere. Osho paumwene. Dira dira omakwata fanone data. Momkaro wiri. Mwana parika okutuma koutumaraka. Oku streaminga. Noku denga pamwe na parateza. Konga, Parates, Namibia.
Machawi, or witch. Mzungu, Chupayamaji Machawi. So what's the connection? Well, every day at lunch, we would share whatever we had, water bottles, cookies, oranges, nuts, bananas, with whoever was at the site with us, and we would eat lunch together. And I was frustrated by the growing amount of plastic water bottles we were generating with no recycling program in place, so I decided to fill up my green Nalgene bottle at the hotel every day. Clever, right? And I didn't think anything of this, but the locals, the people observing us, sure did. Because if my white skin wasn't enough, and the way I'd been exercising my privilege and power at the site by digging in light of this suspicion and distrust, well, here we had some proof. This green bottle contained not water, but poison. The truth is, it's not about the water bottle, though, is it? And it's not actually even about the act of digging itself. It was about power and privilege. And anthropologists, when studying witchcraft accusations around the globe, have clearly demonstrated that that's what is always at the crux of witchcraft accusations: power. People accuse individuals of performing witchcraft, of being a witch, when they feel powerless, when they feel unheard and unseen and disregarded. And imagine someone does this to you in your own backyard. And again, remember, we had all the permissions in place, right? Visas and permits and letters of introduction from institutions that the community we were working in felt powerless against. So, when you cannot directly challenge institutions, when you are challenging people and they are not listening, what else do you have at your disposal? Burn the witch. She's a witch. At the time, I'll be honest, I didn't realize how serious this accusation was, right? I was upset, actually, and hurt that they would accuse me of something. All I wanted to do was pursue scientific truths and fact, what I thought was fact. But this was because, as I've come to realize, I was blinded by my white academic economic privilege. I didn't realize how I was using it to make people invisible. So blinded by this privilege and power, we continued to dig. Eventually, we would resolve without further conflict with the community we were doing, and I didn't get any physical harm, or no, really even emotional harm, which is part of the privilege I have as well. But reflecting on this, it's made me realize a truth about myself. I am a witch. A witch, from an anthropological perspective, is someone who causes harm, whether intended or not. And I did that. I leveraged my power and privilege to make people invisible, to make them feel unheard. Therefore, yes, I am a witch. But I don't have to be a bad witch. I can be a good witch. See, by acknowledging the power I have and the privilege I have by virtue of who I am, a white academic, right, who has all the right credentials, can get all the right visas, has the finances at my disposal that allow me to engage in this type of research, right? I don't have to use that for bad. How can I use this for good? Well, and I admit this is still an ongoing process, I can elevate the voices of the communities I work in. I can do work that is based on their interests, on their need, on their requests. I can go to schools and provide material. I can help provide displays and presentations for museums in the communities I work in. And I can talk to people, and most importantly, I can listen. And instead of getting hurt when people say they distrust me or they're suspicious because I'm yet another researcher who's coming into their communities and doing what I want and then never returning with information again, and taking knowledge and taking and taking and taking. I can listen. I can take the tools at my disposal, including my power and privilege, and share and give and listen. Or, to use a poor analogy, instead of worrying about how full my water bottle is, I can use the resources I have at hand, the water I have in my bottle, to fill up the bottles of those who need water. Thank you.
It was exactly 21 years ago. I was rollerblading through these halls, and I was just so excited about anthropology, I had to go see my professor to find out more. So I find his office, and I go in the door, and there's a girl in there.
And I had scheduled.
I've had a few requests, especially from English-speaking people who do not live in South Africa and who do not understand Afrikaans, for me to add English subtitles to the last two videos that I've did. I'm looking into this, but I have to be honest, I have no idea how to do it. I'll be doing some homework on how it is done, and as soon as I am confident that I can do it properly, I will add English subtitles to all these Afrikaans videos. Potty sent me a fair amount of material, both audio and visual, which I will also be uploading to this playlist. I think it is vital that every single white South African hear what Potty has to say. There is so much that we can learn from these audios. It is my wish that every white South African see and hear what Potty has to share with us. In the meantime, for my international subscribers, I am busy preparing some videos that will be uploaded next week. You will notice that I have put all these videos featuring Potty on a playlist of their own, and will be uploading quite a bit more content that Potty supplied me with. This video will deal with getting a better understanding of what we are dealing with in South Africa and elsewhere in the Western world when it comes to Africans. I also have some audios from Potty titled Know Your Enemy, which are all about understanding how these people think and what we can expect from them because of that. These are all coming in the next few days and weeks in addition to my regular recordings. As I said, I am working on getting subtitles added to Potty's recordings. Hopefully, you don't have to wait too long. Here is another of Potty's audio recordings for your listening pleasure. As usual, please remember to like and share my videos on as many other social media platforms as possible. It is the only way that my message gets out there. If you have not subscribed yet, do it now by clicking on the big red subscribe button below and to the right of this video. While you are there, click on the bell icon to...
Mense nie van weet nie. Want baie mense sal dit eenvoudig net aflag. Baie mense sal eenvoudig net sê dit bestaan nie. Maar hoor my lied, dit bestaan wel. Julle kyk van die vroegste tyd af, roep hulle die voorvadergeeste op. Hulle gaan na sangomas toe, na toordokters toe om dolosse te gooi en al die type dinge. Dit dra water, want dit is een directe confrontatie met Satan wat ons heilig is. Tans landwijd, plase, plotte, huise in die dorpe, is daar toordokter tekens wat tans geplaas word. Met baie navraag in die verlede, in die twee laaste 2-3 maande van mense wat sogenoemde zionies is, kerkgaande mense van hulle, wat in dorpe, in voorstede, in die stede en op plase rituele uitvoer om met een doel voor oor, en dit is om die voorvader geeste op te roep in daardie areas. Daar was een geleentheid waar daar een van hulle gevra is, maar wat doen julle? Want hulle het een of ander doepa op die grond, op die kruising van die teerpad gegooi, en toe hulle geconfronteer word, hoekom doen hulle dit, en waarvoor doen hulle dit, Toe was die eenvoudige vraag antwoord, ons roep die voorvader geeste op. Nou, my probleem met hierdie hele ding is, mense wat sal sê, ja, as jy in ons vader glo, dan kan dit niks in jou maak nie. Maar ons moet een ding in gedagte hou, Satan het die seun uitgedaag en vir hom gesê, spring van hierdie berg af, dan gee ek vir jou alles wat jy kan sien. Toe Satan vir Jesus aangevat het, of vir Yahshua aangevat het. Nou, my probleem met hierdie hele ding is, is juist die ding dat baie mense sal sê, ach, dis een klomp snert wat gepraat word. Ek, wat tussen hulle groot geword het, en hulle kultuur ken, hulle vergeet, dat dit is hulle God. Satan is hulle God. Soos wat daar bose geeste is, so is daar goeie geeste. En daardie bose geeste is tans besig om vrygelaat te word onder ons mense. Dis hoekom ek vanmorgen op hy stempos wat ek gepraat het, het ek gesê, dis 'n ongesiene gevaar. En die geringste twyfel wat jy het, die geringste vrees wat jy het, die geringste kwaad wat jy het in jou hart, die geringste fout wat jy met iemand anders te vind, maak jy jou waanhuisdeur vir hulle oop om in jou lewe in te kom. Dit is die ongesiene gevaar waarvan ek praat. Dis hoekom ek sê, ons is met baie groter dinge besig as wat enige van die mense kan besef. Hulle besef nie waarmee ons te doen het nie.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. For those that have just joined us and you are thinking like, it's a this African story. Basically what this gentleman is talking about, or what this gentleman is talking, is on about here is that, this page in itself is for the Afrikaans, people in South Africa, or for the white people in South Africa. And basically they're talking about black people, and also they're talking about their African culture, and they're talking about witchcraft, and they're talking about their spirituality and their beliefs. So basically what this gentleman is saying over here is that because they don't serve the same God as theirs, because the African God is a devil, the African God is Satan, the African God is not real. They put up this satanic signs and sangoma signs, and they go to traditional healers and so forth. I don't believe in this. I believe that we have a tendency of making things that we don't understand, right? Just because we are afraid of something doesn't mean that it's all so bad, and it is what we think it is. So they're talking about witchcraft, and they're talking about sangomas, and they're talking about healers, and they're talking about all of that. Now, when we talk about African spirituality and the awakening, then maybe we can differentiate between spirituality, witchcraft, sangomas, and ondudu, and all of that, and really put everything in its correct box and its correct category. I think Africa's origins was tainted, and it was boxed into centuries of dysfunction, and centuries of bringing down and colonialism, right? That we no longer really, truly, honestly have a voice when it comes to spirituality, and everything that is done within our spirituality is deemed as bad because it's not white. It's deemed as bad because it is not Christian. It is not understood because it is not necessarily written. And even those that have written about it, it is not mainstream. Like the Bible is mainstream. But then maybe we can talk to a gentleman that is talking about African spirituality, African Spiritual Awakening and a documentary on African witchcraft, and we can take it from there. Ladies and gentlemen, for those that want to ask questions and want to talk about something and also just want to like comment on something, the number in studio is 083-288-401. I'm right here and we are riding this Friday boat together because, I mean, come on.
Witchcraft, a concept associated with black magic, death, destruction, primitivity and evil. But with more Africans now than ever going back to their roots, the conversation on the demonized subject is taking a rather unexpected turn.
People are asking me, are you a witch? That's because you're going there, or what's so interesting about this?
Professor David G. Mailu, Africa's most published author and scholar of African spirituality, stirred up controversy when he hosted a public lecture on witchcraft at his Mathemboni home in Makueni County.
The colonizers saw us as humans, savages, who had neither history nor philosophy. They forced us to drop everything in our culture and demanded that we should stop thinking creatively because the quality of our mind had nothing good to think about. We had no religion. We did not know God. We only worshipped idols and ancestral spirits. This is why the colonizers brought religion to us. The colonizers still demanded that we should surrender our way of life because the white man shall be thinking for us, and when we will want to do something, we will have only two options: consulting the white man's brain and the Bible. When we hear the word witchcraft, which has been thrown around so many times, and then you are called a witch, and there has been a confusion with regard to what is actually witchcraft.
The alarming content of his entire lecture caught the attention of different scholars in the scientific community who were part of the audience.
I'm Sylvester Anami. I was born in a village from Kakamega County, Kolomani constituency, and I've grown through the normal education system until a point where now I'm a teacher at the university, John Muir University of Agriculture and Technology, and I teach students, both undergraduates and postgraduates, in the areas of biotechnology, molecular biology, and tissue culture, especially focusing on plants. Throughout my growing, the term witchcraft and the witches, it is, makes one get afraid. And I was wondering that there is somebody somewhere who is so courageous enough to talk about something that people don't want to talk about. You know, some communities, if you talk about witchcraft, then they can even kill you. So that surprised me and elicited interest, and I shared in many WhatsApp groups.
In attendance as well was Dr. Wangari, who is a perfect embodiment of the coexistence between African spirituality and modern science.
My name is Wangari. I am an African feminist. I am a healer. I am a clinical psychologist. I am an Afrofuturist. I'm also an Afro-optimist. I first encountered Africanism gradually from stories, especially from my grandmother. A lot of her stories were centered around what we need to do if we are sick. And she was talking about plants, and she was talking about parts of animals that she would slaughter and give, you know. And she would talk about these things just in passing. I never thought much about those things. Growing up mostly in Nairobi and only visiting my grandparents from time to time for a couple of days and then going back to Nairobi. Then towards my young adulthood years, I got engrossed in some works in the library, just naturally gravitating to some Pan-Africanist works, being very, very fascinated by the works of Ngoge Wa Thiong'o, one of the most renowned Africanists still alive and strong. And then, honestly, got this invitation to Prof. Mailu's lecture, and I thought this was very interesting because there's a lot of knowledge that's subjugated. It seems to be forgotten, and I am all about getting that which is more peripheral to be more central. That's what I do.
So science, what we call science, has two sides. There is the physical one, the one we know, which falls under metaphysics or empiricism, and the other one which falls under metaphysics, what we don't know, how that happens, how that works, and but now the real science, as we say, to split, to take science without the metaphysics, you only link yourself to one, you have lost a lot. Now what happens? Communities like Africans and the others, primitive people who live in natural courses and the others, tend to develop a lot of knowledge in metaphysics. And metaphysics is that very strange thing, like this woman who actually 150 years ago saw things which are happening today, and then they happened. What is going on in her mind? What is she using to be able to see far away? Now, in African terms, dreams are very important. When you touch on that, nearly every home in Africa, or all homes, talk about them, because there are people who actually have definite dreams. They come true.
Revealed in the lecture was that behind most of what we shun and fear among African people is a powerful force that can be used for either good or evil.
Now, this is not the only plant. We have so many plants around here. Now, this plant here, it's coming out from my mind here. This one here, it treats very many diseases, but usually it's very popular to women when they want to do some abortion. It's very dangerous. They use it for getting through abortion. They use it for that. It's used for many purposes. So the plants we are talking about have the habit of producing very powerful properties.
Melanin is a substance that makes us who we are. Gives us our swag, our empathy, our soul, our humanity. It's all tied to this. And one thing you got to realize, melanin is such a commodity these days. There's a certain armed forces that right now they're developing weaponry that utilizes melanin.
The word voodoo was first used in Latin America, and voodoo simply means spirits, good spirits, bad spirits. In Islam, we talk about genie. Genie is a word you find in the Quran. Genie is not necessarily a bad word. Genie just means spirits. The same Arabic version is in Swahili, so Swahili speakers know when we say genie what we're talking about. you can say, tunataka tumlaze mwenzetu mahali pema peponi. What is pepo? What is pepo? So if you think about the roots of some words like vodu or jili or pepo, we are talking about now the metaphysical existence. And so one of the things that have been maybe a creation of the Western world is this idea that we do not seem to respect our own prophets, our own diviners, our own Africanists, our own spiritual leaders. We seem to kind of over-elevate the other prophets that we know are official prophets, for example, from other religions. Like if I say Elijah was a prophet, you would say, oh yes, of course Elijah was a prophet. But if I talked about a prophet who's in Africa, and sadly we don't seem to know many of them, but they're there, they exist, and they tell us about the future and things like that.
According to the United Nations, lifestyle diseases are now the leading cause of death in Africa. In Kenya, for instance, the Ministry of Health reported a 12% increase in deaths by lifestyle diseases between 2014 and 2021. This number is projected to increase. But this does not have to be the case. Dr. Anami proposes that Africans embrace their traditional practices and science to solve the world hunger crisis.
Potato is these foods, the method of preparation is not healthy. And so continuous utilization of these current modern foods has a danger of bringing in lifestyle diseases. Be it obesity, which is rampant, and that's because of lack of nutrition in this food. We have diabetes, which sometimes it can be genetical, but sometimes it's just about lifestyle diseases. And because of many other diseases that, destroys our normal metabolism, normal microbiota within the system. So going back to our traditional food, sorghum, millet, cassava, they are rich in nutrition. Vegetables, they are very rich in vitamins that we need for proper growth and development, and also to prevent ourselves from getting sick. And so you realize that even Europeans, were surprised that COVID did not kill the Africans. And the reason is that we ended up going back to our traditional foods, the ginger, these other foods that we eat helped us so much. And you can see, in fact, in many restaurants in this country, at the advent of COVID, they came up with a drink called Dawa. Yeah. And so, if you go to any restaurant, you start with Dawa.
But it's not just the physical well-being that can be improved by embracing the traditional African spiritual way of life. Dr. Wangari posits that mental health issues, for instance, can be tackled by a mixture of clinical diagnosis and some African spiritual practices.
The act of going and getting a plant and taking an oath is something we call embodiment. Embodiment practices are central in African-centered psychology. So, for instance, somebody walks into my office and they say that, they can't sleep, they're having a hard time. And then I ask them, my role is, of course, I am trained as an armchair psychologist to help them explore what the issues could be. And they say all they need to do is go back to the village and speak to their ancestor who probably is a relative who died a couple of years ago. Now, what my training would tell me to do is to write an entire diagnosis of this person is psychotic and needs to go take medication. He's crazy. However, what African-centered cosmologies are about, or all the different ways of knowing are about, it's about actually going and touching the grape. Probably lying on the grape, taking brownies, touching the soil on the grave, speaking to this person who is departed and still with us, because, again, in African-centered psychology, we say that The people who've gone ahead of us are not far from us. They are here with us. So therefore, these are the people. So this action of going and physically having an object to represent that, embodiment practices are one thing that I would say is something we need to remember.
Knowledge on how to control the forces of nature has existed in Africa for as long as 1 million years, and it's on the verge of extinction if not embraced, taught, and preserved.
So in Africa, in traditional Africa, we have diviners completely, and diviners have nothing to do with witchcraft. And they are related to spiritual things, and actually, some of them, I come from a divine line. My own sister, who died about 5 years ago, was a diviner. She never went to school, and she practiced whatever else she did. She was a diviner and a healer. And the healing has, the process was this. This is not a healer who would keep materials for healing or a stuff here and there. No. The kind of healing she did was, this is the spiritual one, and she was very popular. If she was invited to a family somewhere to heal somebody, she would go and look at the person, and only within that period, she is shown, now this is where it becomes very difficult, what herbal medicine should be used to treat that person. Then from there, I don't know whether she had to sleep or what, and that, but then the subject is that she was shown, and then she would say, go and bring that, put them together, do this and that, and then you give the person, and she healed very many people.
But with the majority of the African population deeply indulged in the practice of foreign religions, ways of life, and practices, the challenge is for the younger generations to research on and go back to the African spiritual way of life.
I would ask young people to be fascinated. Why is it that Prof. Mahlu kept talking about, Africans being experts of the human body? That whole idea of embodiment and the entire field of knowledge around what do we need to do as people to be whole. A lot of traditional societies had structures and also had systems to take care of each other. For instance, alcohol was not served randomly. It was only for old people. I don't know if you know that. And there were old men sitting around a single pot with straws. And the straws were made actually of some flexible stick that had already, a pin inside. And so they would be pulling these straws together. In a sense, if you think about all of that, it's natural to take care of each other in that setting. And so you would have a lot of cases of addiction, for instance, because then you would have older people who are just, and if one person, for instance, maybe got drunk and had bad behavior in public, then they would be fined with a goat, for example. So that's very different from what's going on right now.
This word we are talking about, witchcraft, this, if we don't embrace that subject fully, because this is part and parcel of the African culture, as because witchcraft is hidden knowledge, and hidden knowledge is divided in so many areas. There is that and that one. Then we are lost. If we hear what the churches are saying, do not follow that. This is devilish, this is that, then we are destroyed.
The scientific community and education sector as well needs to look into this hidden knowledge and demystify the myths and give names to the legends to ensure continuity of the good aspects of African culture.
What is important is for us to embrace impress the positive witchcrafts and be able to learn, maybe integrate them into our curriculum in schools, and be able to teach our children, the youth, and everybody to impress this.
Wouldn't it be wild if we had the subject called witchcraft in our schools?
Good witchcraft, so that we can utilize it to solve our problems, to solve our challenges.
The idea thinking about this lecture is try to see whether we could come up with researchers who would go into the field and find out. For example, this man I'm talking about, the Nyerere one, died away like that. We have another one. Some of you, most of you know the late Professor John Beatty, who was a theologian. And he said something that many people know about locusts. And he comes from the Kitui area where people, good number of people are still traditional. Now, at one stage, his area was attacked by locusts. And they, of course, when they come, they eat everything until they leave this tree with only the bones, white, anything. And locusts, that's quite a story when they begin to eat anything. And then after that, they had the area of one mzee there. The locals didn't touch anything. So, of course, he became very curious to go and find out. And he went and discovered, yes, perfect. The locals didn't touch anything. Well, the mzee or the owner, whatever he had done to prevent locals, you know, eating that section. To me, in my own thinking, this man must have just used some herb in one way or the other, all biochemistry to make sure that the locusts would not eat anything.
Professor David G. Mailu's Mathembo Nihom is one of those places in Africa which are acting as a modern preservation of the nearly extinct practices of African spirituality. This is a call to all Africans of all age and gender from all parts of the continent and the diaspora to start embracing their own and putting into practice that which was in place before. It is a call to you. It is a call to me. In order for that which was buried to germinate and bear fruits, we must water it by being part of the conversation, demonized or not. We must not let our history be forgotten.
So the young, when we were young children, for example, we could come together and there is what you call the finger millet. And so in Luya land, we used to say, Obule wanje, obule, obule wanje, obule, ndebulema, obule, nimhazi, obule, Sylvester Sinjira, obule, obule, mbabeka, obule, obule, that kind of thing. Obule, obule is finger millet, wanje, it is mine. My finger millet. And let's celebrate, so you point at somebody's name and they stand and they start dancing because they are happy.
I think there is an intergenerational dialogue that's missing, especially around aspects to do with difficult life questions. When we have faced tragedy as a people, what did we ever do to, you know, come together and to heal, for instance? And then I think the other intergenerational dialogues that are seem to be completely missing is basically about medicine and what we need to do to be whole and balanced and complete.
Majority of witches tend to use herbal medicine to effect their goals. And I thought probably that this herbal medicine may actually be containing something that we just don't know. So when I actually went to attend and realized that witchcraft is hidden knowledge, then that opened the whole world for me, that it's knowledge that we need to gain in order to help community prosper. And so I was surprised at the very beginning, and then at the end I was encouraged, and I was really full of or enriched with knowledge that we can be able to link science, research, and traditional medicine, which in my opinion is now witchcraft, because they use herbal medicine, to be able to use it for the good of the people.
The Kamba people who are actually accused of being witches, because they think nearly every Kamba man is a witch, they have one very interesting thing which is happening now. In fact, unfortunately, one of the people who to attend this place has not come. A real one who actually knows exactly what I'm talking about on this. Now, this is somebody who had, I wanted him to be here. His father had a very big sugarcane plant, a plantation from here to there. And at one stage, when the man got married, the father came and subdivided and said, "This is your part, this is my part." And then immediately this man discovered something. As soon as he got these leaves, were interested in coming and harvesting sugarcane from there, but they didn't touch the father's one.
Now, the beauty about African traditional religion is you know these things. You don't have to go and acquire a belief from outside. They're just things that are known. So the difference between a belief and knowledge, knowledge which seems just to be here around you. So the aspects of what we're doing is just to discover, to just elicit what's already there and uncover it. It's already there. You don't have to go importing a belief out of anywhere outside of you.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, my name is The Matriarch, and today we were basically diving into the world of the unknown. It was like, whee! Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're talking about spirituality, we're talking about witchcraft, we're talking about African spirituality, we're talking about everything that has to do with witchcraft. We even dived into the concept of the Bible and Christianity and etc. So my sense is that, oh no, it is one of those things where there is a conflict around it. When we talk about where we come from and who we were and what had happened to us and where we are at right now. It's not to say that I'm instigating racism or I'm instigating colonial agendas, right? Or colonial violence or colonial whatever. I am merely stating facts about our people. And our people is anybody, right? Our people is anybody that is from here, that whose forefathers or ancestors have been colonized in any way. And when I hear the word witchcraft, right, I associate it to something bad, because that is all I've heard all my life. And now as a young adult that is now diving into, I'm not even a young adult. Sorry guys. I'm not in your group. Sorry. I almost put myself in your group. As an adult, I'm now starting to see things a little bit more different. And I'm also starting to wonder, and I'm also starting to really ground myself in the concept of being an African. And one thing that I feel could have been a big advantage to me at this particular phase in my life is if there was a facility of some sort. And I found one. I found a facility that teaches, I can't say magic, that teaches spirituality, African spirituality and African concepts and herbs and all of that. And I think that because of our generation and because of our population and because of who we are and because of, the religion that we believe, right? Some things are frowned upon, instantly. And unlike South Africa, our neighboring country, right? There's a lot of freedom that happens there with individuality. I think that they're living out the true chapter 3 of the Constitution because, whoa.
South African universities are no longer serious academic institutions, but platforms teaching witchcraft and some Sangoma rituals in the name of academic subjects. This is not me joking or exaggerating. These are public lectures funded by the state held this year. Take a look at this invitation. At the University of the Free State, which invites students to a public lecture, quote, exploring the rich spiritual traditions of Sangomas, Lethulias, and certain Ngangas, whatever that means. Respected universities have become ideological battlegrounds. Academic standards are becoming a joke, and witchcraft is taught as if on the same educational level as physics. This trend is the direct result of the ANC's transformation agenda. Specifically, its push to decolonize education. And while the idea of transformation might sound harmless to some, what's unfolding on campuses across South Africa is far from benign. It all started with the so-called Science Must Fall movement at the University of Cape Town. Remember when these fallists argued 8 years ago that Western science must be replaced by black magic and that Africans used to be able to control thunder and lightning before colonization. Let me refresh your memory a little bit.
So can I respond to your submissions, because I wanted to directly respond. I was actually thinking about this coming there because I thought that it was going to be one of the coming questions. How do we even start to decolonize science? Because science is true because it's science. And, you know, what can you do? And my response to that was, if I personally were committed to enforcing decolonization, science as a whole is a product of Western modernity, and the whole thing should be scratched off, especially in Africa. So if you want practical solutions to how to decolonize science, we have to restart science from, I don't know, an African perspective, from our perspective of how we've experienced science. For instance, I had a question for all the science people. Is there's a place in KZN, in Kabialinana, and they believe that through the magic, the black magic, you call it black magic, they call it witchcraft, others, that you are able to send a lightning to strike someone. So can you explain that scientifically? Because it's something that happens.
The Science Must Fall movement seemed to be a very successful one in its endeavor. What were once respectable institutions of higher learning in South Africa have now been thoroughly transformed into indoctrination centers promoting African witchcraft in public lectures and scholarly publications as well. This is the direct result of the ANC's drive to decolonize South African universities as part of their transformation agenda. And in this video, we will outline how the ongoing destruction of South Africa's universities can not only be attributed to the incompetence of the ruling party, but also forms part of a calculated agenda to indoctrinate the country's youth. The struggle over education has always been one of the key battlegrounds between competing ideologies and worldviews. Back in the 16th century, as the Roman Catholic Church was trying to come to terms with the Reformation and the growing influence of Protestantism on the continent's youth, the Spanish priests who founded the Order of the Jesuits, Ignatius of Loyola, famously uttered the phrase, "Give me a child for 7 years, and I will show you the man." With this, he conveyed the idea that the impressions left upon children through education from an early age have such a radical impact on their lives that it really shapes how they view the world and interpret the realities around them. Ever since the dawn of modernity, Ideologies have battled over the minds of the youth, and the 20th century was no different. One of the main battlegrounds focused on by the Frankfurt School of Marxism, which has always been the prevalent form of Marxism in the West, has been the systematic infiltration and subversion of schools and universities. History has shown that those who control the institutions of learning controls the minds of the youth, which in turn enables them to control the political narrative in the long run. In South Africa, things were no different. As the political tide was changing in the 90s, so was the country's education system, especially its public universities. Formerly Christian institutions of higher learning, such as the Universities of Free State, Potchefstroom and Pretoria, were systematically being transformed into secularized and, more notably, Africanized institutions. One of the first steps taken by the former rector of the University of the Free State once he took charge back in 2011 was to secularize the university's Christian motto, which previously was, "In God is the light of wisdom," or "In Deo sapiente lux," a paraphrase of a passage from John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion. A mere 4 years later, Janssen published his book entitled Leading for Change, Race, Intimacy and Leadership on Divided University Campuses, in which he described the Calvinist God as a violent sectarian God, a racist construction of the divine. But the revolution in South Africa's universities didn't stop here. Simply de-Christianizing and de-Westernizing the universities was only the first step. The agenda has always been the thorough decolonization and de-Westernization of the entire university system under the ANC. Before we look into that, if you find our work interesting, follow the steps on this banner below to join our WhatsApp group and receive free updates. Decolonization to the African mind means thoroughly stamping out any and all remnants of Western influence in our university system. And as can be expected, academic quality and integrity have suffered as a result. Take, for instance, the former Faculty of Theology at the Free State University, which has now been transformed into a Faculty of Theology and Religion Studies to reflect its embrace of so-called religious diversity. This very faculty, which was once a place of sophisticated theological debate, now hosts seminars on African witchcraft as if that was an academic subject. Yes, that's right. In the spirit of decolonizing the faculty, the University of the Free State actually hosted a so-called Ancestors Day celebration to highlight the so-called enduring power of ancestor worship, ritual, and belief in maintaining African identity in May of this year. But it didn't stop there. A few weeks later, the same faculty hosted a public lecture on the contributions and powers of traditional African sangomas. I'm not kidding, on the 13th of May this year, the University of the Free State had a professor deliver a lecture on the so-called sacred traditions of sangomas, which it tellingly describes as spiritual figures who remain central to the community life despite the spread of Christianity in the region. Yes, you read that right. Despite Christianity, decolonization means opposing the Christian religion and its influence as a product of colonialism and the white man's threatening presence here in Africa. So what we have here is a formerly respectable institution of higher learning now holding public lectures on African witchcraft. Interestingly, the professor in question is actually affiliated with UNISA, and even wrote an academic article back in 2023 in which she calls for white South Africans to be trained as sangomas and laments that colonialism and apartheid made it impossible for whites to be educated to embrace sangoma practices. I highlight this specific example of a scholar from UNISA because it is so telling. It tells a story of how the public universities in this country, once counted among the top universities of higher learning in the world, have been completely and thoroughly destroyed by the government's aggressive anti-colonialism agenda in higher education. What was once leading academic institutions have now been transformed into places where not only are absurdities such as witchcraft being taught, but students are also subjected to threats of violence. A short while ago, the infamous chant "Kill the Boer" echoed on the Potchefstroom campus of the Northwest University, with the university's management refraining from even condemning it, despite several calls from civil rights organizations to do so. The decolonization of our universities is directly affecting the quality of education they can offer. Between 2015 and 2025, the position of South Africa's top university on the Times Higher Education World University ranking list, the University of Cape Town, the University of Science Must Fall, dropped from 124th to 155th in the world. Likewise, Wits University, the second highest ranking South African university, in 2015 dropped from its position just outside the world's top 200 at the time to number 251 according to the latest rankings. And of course, having set our public universities firmly on the path of destruction, the government is now also coming for our schools via the exact same agenda, with oppressive pieces of legislation such as the Bella Act. The fact of the matter is that it is not merely a matter of incompetence that has led to the dire state of our universities. It has been a calculated move by the ANC elites, who attempted to win over this country's youth for their anti-Christian and anti-Western agenda. Analysis like this is crucial. Make this channel stronger by becoming a member of the Willem Petzer Group. Just follow these steps right here on the banner. Everything this government touches gets destroyed, either through sheer incompetence, or as the case of our public university shows, through calculated agendas, which, under the guise of so-called transformation, is now in the process of not only subverting, but completely destroying this country's institutions of higher learning. If nothing changes, South Africa will face a twofold crisis, an academic collapse and a cultural implosion. As universities sink further, international students leave. Local students will graduate with less competitive degrees, and the brain drain will accelerate, and trust in academic institutions erode permanently. But perhaps even more dangerous is what's happening to our national identity. The systematic vilification of Christianity, Western heritage, and academic rigor, replaced by political propaganda and some ritualism, is reshaping how young South Africans see the world. This story ties directly into what I exposed yesterday, where we looked at the devastation caused by witchcraft in South Africa, leading to murders and cannibalism. Yes, cannibalism. If you think that is something of the past millennia, you don't really know what is going on in South Africa this very day. If you haven't seen that yet, click on the video on your screen right now. And remember to become a member of the Willem Petzer Group. Your support is what helps this channel grow, reaching new heights. And
all right, that was Willem Gertse, and he was talking about the school system and how it is being messed up by people incorporating African religion as a subject and as a module. And I think that he has the right to complain, and he has the right to have his views. And I think that to some degree he has a point there. But what I would say is, why don't we allow those that want to practice, to let them practice, to let them study, to let them know, and let them dive into their avenues? Is it really that bad? So bad that it might taint the reputation of a state university simply because it offers this? If anything, I think that it would actually enhance it, and also allow those that don't have an uncle that can take you somewhere so that you can go and open up your gifts that you got spiritually to go to a reputable place where we know that it's going to happen nicely. So ladies and gentlemen, Mina, the matriarch, I bid you guys farewell. It has been a lovely Friday. It has been a lovely Friday evening, and I bid you guys a farewell.